Yesterday, I was with Holly and a family. We were down in Washington, D.C. I'm sorry I did not get to see your brass concert here yesterday, but I was down at the Navy Band's annual Christmas concert at Constitution Hall. Amazing concert. All kinds of music, from chorales to quartets to bands to country. It was just an amazing thing. And for me, I can't imagine this season without good music. It's just hard, whether you're finding it in church or wherever you're finding your music or pulling out your old favorites. This is a season about music. This is a season about the songs that we love and we treasure. I want to talk today a little bit about Christmas love songs. It's kind of hard to break in with a new Christmas song that's going to stick, though. We think of the songs that we've been singing and the ones that particularly we have in our hymnal, the ones, the carols we sing in the church, as having been around forever, but at some point they were a new song too. They had to kind of break in and become a tradition. In most cases, they became a tradition in a small little community, and then slowly it grew out. This is before radio and before TV and before the internet, and so these traditions just grew slowly. It took time for them to become our beloved favorites. And now, I was listening to a story on the radio the other day. It is really hard to come up with a new good Christmas song that will last for more than one season. Something that people might be willing to come back to year after year after year. We feel like we've been singing this song forever, or at least listening to it in the mall, right? Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You. It's 25 years old this year. And for the first time ever, it reached the top of the Billboard charts. It took 25 years of us kind of listening and singing, and now for some people, it's a part of their Christmas tradition. It takes a long time for these songs to make their way into our Christmas repertoire. But long before Mariah was singing love songs at Christmas, Mary was singing a love song at Christmas. It's ancient. It's over a couple thousand years old. And it's a love song because it speaks about a God who loves this world and is not content to leave it the way that it is. About a God who has chosen a young teenager to do something incredible and miraculous. About a God who continues to spark joy in Mary and in us. And so I want to take a look at that song, and I want to take a look at the story. You have to start first with the visit of Gabriel to Mary. Gabriel comes with this incredible news, this news that Mary could never have prepared herself for, that God has a plan to use her in the salvation story, that God is going to plant a seed in her that will become a child, and that child will be savior of the world, and to a young teenager not even quite yet wed. That is scary, overwhelming news. And yet somehow Mary finds the capacity in that moment and in those weeks and in those months of preparation to say yes to God. I love the way our devotional writer, the devotion we shared with you, many of you have been reading it this season, John Pavlovitz calls Mary the first responder to Jesus. I love that image because when we think of first responders, we think about people going to be at the scene where something important and dramatic is happening. And Mary, as our first responder, becomes our model for how we too are called to respond to God when God puts God's claim on our life, when God calls us to do something bold, when God calls us to bring love into the world. God uses Mary as our model, our first responder. And then we get to this scene today, this wonderful scene of Mary and Elizabeth greeting one another. These women who are both pregnant, they are kindred souls, literally kinswomen of one another. And Mary has come to visit the older Elizabeth, but they are in very different circumstances, aren't they? Elizabeth has found out that she, late in life, is going to bear a child. And you better pay attention to the Bible whenever that happens, right? When someone who's been barren suddenly is going to have a child, we know something important is going to happen. So it's at that stage of life where she had given up hope and now suddenly has hope again. And then you've got Mary at the very other end of the spectrum, a young teenager, scared to death about what this might mean, scared to death of what this might do to her reputation, scared to death about what this might do to Joseph. Will it push him away? And they come and they greet each other in this moment. They embrace. And it says the baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt when they met one another. Elizabeth, the older woman, offers a blessing to young Mary. And it is a wonderful moment in this story. And it's at that point that we get Mary's song, Mary's response, the Magnificat. Now, Mary is joyful in the moment. I have to tell you, if you go looking for pictures of Mary, it's hard to find her joyful. Throughout the millennia of Christian art, Mary is usually what? Pretty serious. Or sometimes sad. We think of Mary, of the Blessed Heart, the sadness of Mary knowing about the death of her son. And so we see very somber Marys in a lot of the art. But if you look hard enough, you'll find moments like this, this sculpture of this smiling Mary with the baby Jesus. And I can't imagine, maybe it took her a while to get to that smile. Maybe Mary at this moment is more scared than joyful. But as she's singing, she talks about the joy that is welling up in her, the joy that is building inside of her, the joy that is going to spill out to the rest of the world. And she begins with this song. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." That's why we call it the Magnificat. Magnificat is the word in Latin for that first word of the song. "And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." What would it be like if we could sing that song with Mary? To cry out to God in all circumstances, even the scariest ones. "My soul rejoices. My soul glorifies the Lord." What would it be like if we could sing with Mary? Now here's another part of this story. We know that opening line of the Magnificat, don't we? We know that beautiful opening line of rejoicing and extolling God. But it's a revolutionary song if you pay attention to the lyrics. I was thinking about it this week. If you've ever been driving with like a teenage son or daughter and there comes a pop song on the radio that you're listening to and you're maybe even singing along with your kids. And any of you ever have that happen as your kids are growing up? I remember those moments. And then you start listening to the lyrics and you say, "Oh my gosh, what are our teenagers listening to?" It's kind of like that with the Magnificat, only, "Oh my gosh, what are these words that are there in this Magnificat?" About a God who is, like the Canticle of the Turning says, turning the world upside down. This is not a God who is content with the status quo. This is a God who will come to disrupt the world, not simply to bless it, but by disrupting it and changing the order of things, will bring God's blessing to the world. Mary goes on to sing, "His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He's shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." That is not the normal order of things, is it? Normally, the rich get richer and fatter, and the poor have nothing. But in this moment, Mary is singing about the revolutionary God who is turning the world upside down, as you sang so beautifully. And in Mary, the process is beginning in this Jesus who will come and proclaim a kingdom of God where outsiders become insiders, where God's justice will reign for everybody, where the low will be lifted up and the high will be brought low. This is a moment, a revolutionary song. This is no Mary meek and mild. This is Mary strong, prophetic, singing out about God's justice. "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This is a song rooted in the very covenant of God. It goes all the way back to the promise of Abraham. And Mary is singing about God's covenant faithfulness. Now, I want to suggest to you that it might not be quite an original song that Mary is singing. We think of the Magnificat as Mary just like composed it on the spot, right? There are very few original Christmas songs. Matter of fact, most of what you hear Christmas songs are remakes of other Christmas songs, aren't they, right? You hear a new band that's going to do that, or a new soloist takes their take. But what they do is they take it and they make it their own. They may add a twist. They may change the tempo. They may change the rhythm. They may add slightly new verses or different kind of chorus or a different tone. But they make it their own. And those are the ones that kind of stick out from the crowd. Mary may in fact be singing a Hannah remix. A Hannah remix. All the way back, Hannah, mother of Samuel in the Old Testament. If you read in 1 Samuel, when Hannah finds out she's going to have a baby and bear this son, she sings and prays, "My heart exults in the Lord, my strength is exalted in my God. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry are fat with spoil." Sounds a lot like the Magnificat, doesn't it? God turning this world upside down. A song that Mary knew, at least, and now is bringing and owning for herself in the things that are going on in her body, in her life, in her call to bear God into the world. Now, so that's a looking back at the Magnificat. It echoes back all the way to Hannah's song. But what I learned in my study over the last 2 weeks was it may echo forward into the New Testament as well. By tradition, James is James, the brother of Jesus, is the author of the book of James in the New Testament. You know, the one that Luther wanted to kick out. He called it an epistle of straw because there just wasn't enough gospel in it. It was all about our good works and doing things for other people. I read a very interesting commentary by a New Testament scholar in England. Her name's Maggie Dawn. And she suggested that perhaps, just perhaps, we have James remembering the lullaby, the Magnificat, that his mother sang to him. Those words of hope, those words about a revolution, those words about a God who will embrace the poor and lift up the lowly. And so when we get to James, this book that's all about caring for our neighbor, and we hear these words, is it an echo of Mary's voice that once sang into James' ear? "Feed the orphan and the widow, or you have no faith," worth speaking of. So maybe it's a song that not only echoes backwards, but perhaps echoes forward as well. I want to leave you with this final thought. Mary is singing a Christmas love song, the best and the first Christmas love song. This song that calls us to fall in love with this world that God has made too, to be part of God's active, redemptive love in this world. In the words, going again back to John Pavlovitz, we are similarly pregnant with a capacity to bring peace and kindness and healing. With Mary, we are pregnant with a capacity. These traits of Jesus are what you are invited to birth into the world. And here they are: compassion, forgiveness, courage, honesty, and I would add joy. Let goodness form in you today and find a way to release it into the world. Friends, that's what it means to sing with Mary. That's what it means to enter into her joy. It is to sing and live compassion, forgiveness, courage, and honesty, to birth these things along with Mary into the world. I invite you not only to listen to Mary's song, I invite you to sing Mary's song and live Mary's song as together we birth a whole new world that is turned upside down. Amen.